All right, and we're live. Not live, but we're recording.
Am I live?
Yeah, 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 that works.
Perfect.
That should all work. And you can see here the, you know, recording. It records on device as well.
Nice.
So there is backups, but I don't want to touch the backups. I don't want to touch the files. And yeah, very soon, Hashtree. It's going to be Hashtree enabled very soon.
Yeah.
So yeah, Marty. Talk to me about Hashtree. Let's start with that. How did you like? What made you build out Hashtree?
Personal annoyances with GitHub. I wanted decentralized Git. Went looking into alternatives, but I wasn't satisfied with anything. I wanted something really simple, that is Nostr native. So I built something that's compatible with Blossom servers.
And pure Blossom servers weren't enough because?
They actually are. You can, using my Hashtree tools, you can push your Git repository onto your Blossom servers.
But why did you need the Hashtree layer, basically? Why did you need to add that for the Git use case? Because I understand it when it's really big files. But for the Git use case, what made you come up with Hashtree and implement that?
So Hashtree does, basically it does directories and file chunking on top of Blossom. So I guess for the Git use, the directory thing would be the what we need. So basically you just upload your working directory with the .git folder.
So that main idea is like similar to the inside idea. Inside had paths. We can just walk here and just do two or three rounds or something.
Yep.
Because the issue, of course, I mean, I gather you're a big fan of content addressing.
Yeah.
But the issue with content addressing is, of course, that you lose the file system structure. So you need additional metadata to figure out the file name and the folder name and everything. And put it back together. Let's work here. That's a longer, nicer path.
No, I do have all that. Like, Hashtree is like a proper file system. It's like a light version, Nostr compatible, Nostr native version of IPFS. Much simpler though.
Yeah. But if pure Blossom doesn't have that, basically, right? Like that's what was missing.
Yeah. So I have directories and file chunking and encryption encrypted by default. You can opt out if you want, but I use like content hash key encryption, similar to Freenet, which was a system back in the day. So same file always produces the same ciphertext. So there's that deduplication, and it's also very helpful for Blossom server maintainers when it takes away the moderation liability.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because you don't even know and can't know what you're hosting.
Yes.
So that's important if you ever want to, you know, like offer your hard disk as a service, basically, and just then you'll store just encrypted blobs.
Yeah.
And have,
yeah,
like if someone comes knocking, you can,
yeah,
with cryptographic assurances say that you don't know what's hosted on your machine.
Yes, and when you ask stuff from your peers, also they don't see what you're requesting. In addition to Blossom, I have a WebRTC mesh that works in browsers and servers alike, so they can connect to each other actually. You don't need domain names or SSL certificates or IP addresses or servers or anything, unlike Blossom. So it complements it pretty nicely.
So
when you just ask your peers for data by its hash, if they don't have it, they can forward the request. Similarly to how Freenet works with the hops to live counter. So it could start with, I think it starts with 15 hops to live, but it's kind of probabilistic. So it's sometimes 15, sometimes 14. So you can't really tell where the request originated.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it gives a layer of privacy.
Yeah, I see. And I noticed you use it for your development now, right? Like the GitHub replacement you built, you actually use it for Iris development?
Yes, I do. It's really good for agents. You don't need to set up GitHub API tokens or anything. That was, I guess that was my main annoyance and the reason why I wanted decentralized Git now and not tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you're the probably like the 15th person now that I talked to in the last 2 weeks that built a GitHub alternative. Everyone seems to be fed up with GitHub. And I mean, to be fair, it's only downhill from there ever since Microsoft took over. Like, I mean, they have like a less than 90% uptime now, I think, and just everything's terrible.
Yeah.
It's gonna get worse. So it's about time we have a promising and working GitHub alternative. So all your projects use your system based on Hashtree. Like you have Git remotes that are that use Hashtree for storage, right?
Yeah.
And you use GitHub just as a backup, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, you should go check it out, hashtree.cc. You can find the install instructions there. So basically, it just help installs you H3 and Git remote H3 helper. So you can just set an H3 remote for your Git repo and just push there. It's really simple. You should try it out.
And you just need a Blossom server.
Actually, I'm running one on Cloudflare, which works really well and only accepts encrypted content.
Awesome, awesome. And what's kind of still on the roadmap for the Hashtree and GitHub project?
I think it's pretty much there. I have the web interface git.iris.2. You can go check it out. It looks pretty much like GitHub. It supports NIP34, the issues and pull requests and stuff.
And you mentioned it was Justin's main criticism. We don't have a star. We don't have the GitHub stars. It was a like.
I have likes.
So you got a feature request to change it?
I'll change it to stars if that's what we want.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, we played around with it, of course,
and you can
in the cord.
Even fork repos really easy in the browser, like in 10 milliseconds or what.
Yeah, I think I forked the Iris Audio or what it was.
Yeah.
Talk to me more about all the Iris projects that you have going on right now. You're basically rebuilding Spotify, you're rebuilding YouTube as a one-man machine with some agents.
It's really easy to spin up these demos, but it's too much to maintain them. So I'm here on Madeira, Sovereign Engineering, hoping to plant the seed and get more people interested in it. I hope it's a good idea that catches on.
I think it is an excellent idea. I mean, there's other people trying to build YouTube replacements and so on. Obviously, we're fighting massive network effects, but I think we can build it out in a way that it's just kind of very much like, you know, people self-host all kinds of things and you just self-host an instance where you have your music and you know it's not gonna go away. I think what a lot of people have issue with the platforms, like YouTube is a great example. I have playlists of YouTube videos that I really liked and I built them up over like many, many years. And if I open them now, half the videos are gone.
Yes, true.
And I think, you know, like for music and so on, that's even more devastating. It's like if you find an artist on some platform and you just save it and like 3 years later, it's gone for some reason. And I think just out of that, people will probably set up or hopefully set up their own instances. And if something is readily available and easy to set up and you don't even necessarily need to completely self-host in terms of running all of the infrastructure yourself, I think that's one of the Nostr killer features is that you can use someone else's relay, you can use someone else's Blossom server
and
still build your own little world basically.
And actually I have something called Iris Browser, which can load this it can basically load websites and applications from Hashtree URLs in a content addressed way, so that's how you bypass the web hosting part. So
yeah, awesome. Again, similar idea like Ansight, right?
Kind of similar. Yeah. So that's why we need content addressing to keep the stuff online and not have 5-year-old links break.
Yeah. That's the superpower that content addressing gives you, that where the content lives physically doesn't matter.
Yes, yes.
And in the best case, it lives in multiple places at once.
Yeah, so in Hashtree, your peers also store some of the data, and you can store your friends' data, your follow list, and extended social graph.
Talk to me a little bit about the peer-to-peer aspect, because I heard you talking a while ago about kind of on the Nostra side, we obviously have relays, but relays have their limits. And I think you like the idea of and other people like this idea as well. I think Vitor and there's some other people that really like the peer-to-peer idea on the Nostra side, like not necessarily requiring a relay to transfer information. And the reason why I'm asking is because this cohort is focused on mesh networking and just like hardware and mesh networks basically. And that's obviously, you know, like we have a lot of direct data transfer between peers, and you mentioned before already that you have protocols in place so that you know, direct transfer is possible, right? Like how are you thinking about this?
Yeah, so in addition to Blossom, I have the WebRTC adapter. It uses Nostr relays to find peers and to do the WebRTC establishment part. But when you have a few WebRTC peers, it also does the signaling without needing Nostr relays anymore. And the native apps are a bit better with this. When you have a few IPs stored, you can just use them and not need the relay domain names or certificates or anything. And you can even sync like local first over Wi-Fi or something.
Do you think that's where it's going, or do you hope that's where it's going, or will we still have relays for a while, or will relays just specialize?
I think we'll continue to have relays. And personally, I still publish, well, I have the GitHub myself and my projects pretty much. So, but you still need to publish to the web, to the web browsers and the legacy structures. So I use direct Cloudflare publish for that.
Yeah, otherwise you'll just be alone.
yeah. And the sad reality is that in web hosting, you basically need a CDN if you want to host a popular website. Yeah. Otherwise it goes down with DDoS attacks or demand or something. But the only solution to that is to move to peer-to-peer stuff like the Iris browser I'm developing. And I hope this content addressing and Nostr publish subscribe would move closer to the operating system level over time.
I mean, the main idea that a lot of people have is that if you have, was discussed in this cohort in the first week as well, if you have like a home node or even on-device relay and all those kind of things, we'll have lots of caching, so to speak, that's closer to you, and you'll just have like layers of caches just by having multiple relays and multiple kind of instances of the same data closer to you physically, basically. Do you think that this will be enough to kind of, in the long run, not necessarily replace Cloudflare, but have similar guarantees in some sense?
Yes, I think so. Maybe DNS also works a bit like this, so you have DNS is hierarchic system, so that we don't want that, but DNS has levels of caching which I guess work pretty fine.
Yeah, we'll try to build out no DNS, so that's kind of a similar idea to DNS, but without the global view.
Yeah.
Without the global source of truth.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe in globally unique names. I think we could have more like a drop-down menu, like a search, drop-down search that we have on social media where you just type in some name.
Yeah, absolutely.
It points to some identity in your social graph.
So what you're saying is you can't have all three properties of Sucos Triangle? Because I'm with you. I'm with you. Like I've been harping on about this for a long time. But the idea is then, like if you try to look up a name, like my go-to example is always like Pablo. Who is Pablo for me? There's many Pablos. And in my web of trust, I know which pub, like my, from my perspective, it should be clear who I, which NPub I'm talking about when I say Pablo.
Yes.
And from like someone else, then it's a very different Pablo. And so that's, I think that's the only way how you can solve it basically. Yeah. Which is of course, you know, like you'll never have a precise answer. And I think a lot of people, especially a lot of computer science people, they don't like that. They don't like the messy, they would like to have an exact solution, an exact deterministic solution.
Yeah, it's it requires a different way of thinking, and oftentimes confuses people when you change these paradigms. Also, it confuses the LLMs, and they try to always push to GitHub or use some blockchain Ethereum solution or something.
Yes, yeah. I think it was you that mentioned yesterday that we have this opportunity now to, like, one of the reasons why you're working on that stuff is to steer the LLMs and the future of technology into a freedom tech direction, right? Like we have this window of opportunity where it's like, if all of us would stop working on that, then kind of, you know, like Stripe and Cloudflare and GitHub would win by default, basically, because that's all the LLMs know.
Yeah. I think it's coding is gonna be done by AI agents pretty soon, like in a few years. I don't think we're gonna need too much human involvement. So. No, I feel like we have this, yes, narrow window of opportunity.
How much do you still code by hand? How much thread coding do you still do?
Basically zero.
Yeah, there you go. We are already there. Like,
yeah, but I still have to guide the process.
Yo, absolutely. I mean, I think human taste and human judgment won't go away for a long while. But I think just developing, I mean, to me, it seems like the best people in some sense, they are leaning into the tools the hardest and know how to use them. And it's all about kind of moving some levels up in the abstraction layer and really steering and guiding the process and the project, as you say. But you're actually not writing code line by line.
No,
that's kind of a waste of time by now in some sense.
Yes.
So what's your current setup, and when did you, like, talk me through your AI progression over the last, I guess, like 18 months or 2 years or so.
I think maybe even in the early days of Nostr, like 2022, well, it's, for me, it was the early days of Nostr when I started. Yeah. Even then, I think...
Yeah, you were very early.
ChatGPT.
Not only to Bitcoin, but also to Nostr.
So we used to copy and paste code to the ChatGPT prompt. But...
did you use tab completion as well?
Yes, Copilot, yeah. But I think the major change was last year, 2025, end of November, when Claude Opus something came out. And it was felt like the first actually capable agentic coding tool, which took the human out of the loop for many kinds of things. That's when I started working on Hashtree. It's an idea that I've had for a long time, but only now I'm able to make it happen with agentic tools.
Yeah. Justin mentioned that as well in terms of, I mean, he moved on from building a browser, but he talked to the guy who built Ladybird, the alternative browser implementation. And he mentioned that, like, pre-proper agentic coding, it wasn't clear whether they were going to make it and they would be able to actually succeed with the project. And now it's like, no question. Now it's like crystal clear they're going to make it. And it sounds like for you and your project, that's similar, where you can build way more easily, way faster with the agentic tools.
Yes. It's like 10 or 100x my capabilities.
How do you think this is gonna end in some sense? I mean, the next set of models is just around the corner. We'll have more tool integration, more harnesses like OpenClaw and all those kind of things. Like, everyone is working on that basically. There's like literally trillions of dollars being thrown at the problem.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna have more OpenClaw features in the mainstream Codex and Claude. Stuff like memory and like better, longer running agentic tools and scheduling and Soul and what have we.
Are you worried from a kind of big picture, macro perspective in terms of AI is gonna take everyone's job and you know, if you don't have Bitcoin or something, then you'll just be wrecked.
Yes, I'm a bit worried. I used to be really optimistic about everything and with like a Bitcoin optimist.
You're not anymore?
Bitcoin is hope. I guess it still is, but the AI stuff can be a bit scary. Like, how do we actually compete against the machines? And what economic value can humans provide?
I mean, I used to say a couple of years ago, Bitcoin is singularity insurance because it's the one thing that machines actually can't make more of.
Yeah.
So just hold on to your Bitcoin.
That's a good point still.
But yeah, I mean, it's in some sense, money is a thing between humans. So I'm actually not too worried. It's just about like as long as you're still able to provide value to society in whatever way, shape or form, you should be able to make money. But it's kind of ironic that the white collar people are gonna be made obsolete first.
Yes.
Everyone who went to university, especially if you study computer science, you know, you're in danger. And if you're a blue collar plumber or whatever, you're not as much in danger right now. And
until the robots come.
Yeah, exactly. But that's still a little bit out.
Yeah.
You study computer science as well, right? Like you have a computer science background.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't study too much. I just went to the programming courses, which I found interesting. I just wanted to get a job as soon as possible. And that's what I did, basically.
Yeah. You discovered Bitcoin pre Bitcoin being a thing and being able to work on Bitcoin in any meaningful way, right?
Yeah. And actually, I made my last commit to Bitcoin, I think, in early 2010. That's around when I got my first full-time job and had less time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Bitcoin was not a real job.
Yeah, I heard that you talked to Knut about that. I'm not going to grill you about the early days, but how come you jumped into Nostr so early as well? Was it just kind of... Because I know you wanted to build something like Nostr yourself as well, right?
Yeah, I had actually built something on a different stack.
What was the stack?
It was GUN.js, GUN.js.
And now it's gone? Doesn't exist anymore, I assume.
I think it does exist as a code library.
Okay.
My system was very similar, like a social network based on public keys. But I had worked on it for like 2-3 years by the late 2022, and I was ready to move on, like get a real job, because it wasn't like
any traction. Yeah.
But that's when Nostr happened, I guess. Well, Jack Dorsey joined Nostr, and it became popular, and I got excited about it and the community around it and everything. And then I was able to port Iris onto Nostr very quickly because of that. And
so Iris was the thing you built pre-Nostr? That was the name?
Yes.
It's the rainbow, right? Plurality of viewpoints and plurality of identities.
Yeah, Iris means apparently rainbow in ancient Greek. And yes, that symbolizes the plurality of voices. And Iris of the eye is named after rainbow's colors. And
so you understood intuitively, kind of pre-Nostr already, that there's not going to be a global.
Not going to be global.
There is no global.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I've had this social graph idea for a long time. I think it's the only proper solution to fighting spam and other unwanted content, because proof of work is not going to... Not gonna make it. It hinders normal users more than spammers.
Yeah, I think a combination of both is like there are some things where proof of work is useful, I guess. But for most regular interactions, I agree. It's you have to rely on Web of Trust mostly. Are you happy with kind of the current state of Nostr?
No, I'm not happy.
Not even a little bit in terms of. It's actually something that you wanted to have that actually caught on a little bit.
Yeah,
that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Let's do one more round and then we'll go down to the sea if that's okay.
Yeah, Nostr is still great, and we need public key based identities, not domain name based. Yes, so it's the right thing to do, but we could always do better.
So what made you say, like, instantly you're unhappy? Like, what's broken? Or what could
I'm
be better?
Thinking.
Or what are people misunderstanding, maybe?
The stuff we build should solve problems for people. And I don't think Nostr as a public medium is solving problems to most people. Most people are fine with posting on X or something. Like, for public discussions, you want to go to the largest network, largest audience. So I think we might need to think other uses for Nostr. I've been saying private chats, private groups could be something that actually doesn't depend on the network effect, and that's where Nostr can actually solve problems and be much easier to deploy and use than something centralized that where you need to register, create accounts and phone numbers and email addresses and all that. We can be like Signal, but better. Yeah.
Jonathan mentioned something similar yesterday. He mentioned that MLS / Marmot / White Noise is the most important project on Nostr right now, he thinks. Would you agree with that, or what's your thoughts on MLS?
Well, definitely, like, forward secrecy, message history secrecy and all that we need on Nostr, and we don't have it properly yet. Well, maybe we do. So there's MLS, and then there's also, I've been developing Nostr Double Ratchet for a while.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Which is Signal's algorithm.
What's the status of this project right now? Because there was a while ago when you jumped into that, right?
Yeah. So Double Ratchets worked really well between two devices for a long time. So you establish a session between two devices. Works really well, but what when you want multiple devices per user? What if you want to contact people out of the blue over Nostr? How to make that reliable? Send the message to all their devices, and then you want to have chat groups. That's when the complexity grows. I've been working on this stuff. It's getting to a point where it's might be actually quite usable soon. We just tested. You could go to chat.iris.to. We were just testing it yesterday. I invited everyone in our table by scanning a QR code, and it worked perfectly. You can have groups and secure private messaging on Nostr.
How big can the groups get?
That's a good question. I guess similar limits as Signal, I imagine. So you need to establish sessions with each participant separately and send them your group key. You can use the same group key to encrypt all your messages in a group. Well, pirate ship.
Sorry. That's the pirate ship. You're gonna miss that, unfortunately, but it's tradition that after the last demo day at Sovereign Engineering, we go on the pirate ship.
Whoa.
So I just wanted you to see it.
That's cool.
That's the ship that discovered Madeira. That's a replica, like original size replica of the ship.
Nice.
So it's awesome. It's well worth checking it out. Mm. And you'll see dolphins and whales and, you know, people throwing up because it's actually quite rocky.
Yeah. So theoretically, MLS scales to larger groups than Double Ratchet. But as far as I understand, it also requires, it has much more strict consensus requirements. So everyone in the group needs to be on the same page, and that might be a bit difficult on Nostr with different relay sets and more decentralization.
So
that's something, that's what's been keeping me on Double Ratchet, moving to MLS.
I think that's what Jesus landed on as well in his kind of, he played around with it quite a bit, and his kind of quote unquote criticism, or one of the issues that we might run into long term.
Yeah, but I appreciate their work very much, and secure messaging on Nostr is something
absolutely.
We need in one way or another, whatever the algorithm
is. I mean, in the end, it also, it just kind of has to work for in practice, and it probably, like, I talked about this with Pablo quite a bit, that, like, once you have a certain group size, like, it doesn't make sense to, like, you're not gonna have any privacy. If it's 1,000 people, you'll have like 3 spooks in there at least.
Yeah.
That just screencast everything to whatever agencies they work for, or like, you know, take screenshots and leak it and so on. So it's kind of, I don't know, like perfect encryption, perfect forward secrecy, all those kind of things. It only matters if you can trust that the group participants are honest, basically, in some sense.
Yes, yes. You want to take a picture? It's such a beautiful Madeira.
It's very, very nice.
Flowers and cityscape.
For the folks at home. Yeah, no, it's a audio only thing that we're doing by design. I'm not a fan of video.
Yeah,
of video content.
I think AI will generate a movie from this.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. I didn't dig into that yet. And now for a little bit it's gonna be loud, but the goal is we're gonna cross over, and then we're gonna drop down here. I think that's the easiest one, and then we can hopefully we'll have a little bit of silence and less car noises directly at the sea, and then we can walk all the way to the Yellow Fort. That's kind of the that's gonna be the goal. So you'll have to scream for a little bit.
Sure. Are you sure you're still recording?
Yeah.
Can you ever know?
Yeah. No. That's so far no single recording has failed.
All right.
And I think I mentioned it briefly yesterday. So far, only one conversation has failed, and it was with Justin when we got really, really drunk.
Oh yeah.
And it was
as well.
Completely unreleasable. So we got drunk on beer and on shishas. So that's what happened. And that was a really bad idea. So we're not gonna do that again. But up to now everything, like, I don't wanna jinx it, but up to now everything worked perfectly with the recordings always.
Right.
So you have like 5 or 6 projects cooking now. Are you still actively working on Iris, the main client, right now?
Not super actively. After a long break, I did some pull requests again. I guess Iris is kind of nice sometimes because it has the social graph, which works pretty well. I think maybe Snort is using my social graph library or something that Kieran's doing. I don't know, Zapstream maybe. So it's pretty nice because sometimes people complain about this NSFW spam, but you don't get that basically in Iris.
Yeah.
But you will miss new users who are not in the social graph as well. So it's a trade-off, but I like it. I don't need to see everyone's posts. And there's like 35k users in my default social graph. I mean the default that's loaded on Iris.
Yeah,
could be improved though. But
did you look into the other Web of Trust solutions like Relator running on ContextVM and Vertex by Pip the Social Graph Guy?
No, I haven't looked into it. I guess relay side filtering can be fine if you only use those relays, but then you need to trust the relay operator. So that's why I wanted to do it on the client side, even in the browser.
Yeah, I see. But it's good to see all those things popping up. I think it's the right solution to all that stuff. So your first contact with Noster was then basically porting the existing Iris to Noster, is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about your Noster development journey.
Actually, I must confess, I have sinned. I have shitcoined.
I'm aware. I did my homework.
Yeah, we did like a social, something called social nouns. Yeah. Nouns is the Ethereum DAO.
Yeah.
I think they have, I don't know, 50 million in their treasury or some very large amount. So it was like algorithmically generated.
Yeah, they randomly mined avatars basically and auctioned them, right?
Yeah, auctioned them. Yeah. And every NFT would be a vote
and
in the
You day, did the Finnish version of that, right?
Yeah, like Finnish culture with Finnish alcohol products or whatever.
That's okay. Like you can, you know, everyone every sinner has a past. No, how does it go? Every saint has a past, every sinner a future.
Yeah, well, that was around the time when I was very desperate about to quit Iris. This was my last effort to like...
Last hooray to try to make it work.
Yeah. But it didn't really gain traction either. Maybe we were not scummy enough or something. We just shut it down and returned the funds to the buyers. But when I made Iris an Ostro client, it still had Ethereum login.
Oh, login. I didn't know that. Okay.
People were like, what the fuck is this?
So that was the first friction point to get rid of.
Yeah, I wasn't actually too active in the Bitcoin scene before Ostro for a long while. I wasn't familiar with the Maxi stuff and all that very much. So it was an interesting cultural experience, but in fact, I liked it. I found the Bitcoin Maxis to be in many ways more admirable people than some other groups.
I think they have their reason, right? Like it's just, I think Jonathan mentioned that as well. He had not one gap year, but like 7 gap years. Like he left the space for 7 years.
Yes.
And now returned with FIPS basically.
Yeah.
And I think it's super interesting to have people like you, you know, like very active in the early days. You know, you managed the forums, you ran Bitcoin.org for a while, right?
Yes.
And just basically running maybe like the third Bitcoin node or something.
Yeah, BitcoinExchange.com.
Yeah.
Where I sold over the 30,000 Bitcoins.
Yeah, there you go. See, and then for, you know, like life reasons, yeah, you just, you moved on to other things.
Yes.
And I think in your guys' absence, you know, lots of Bitcoin maximalists were minted just because the shit coining was so obscene and kind of the, how should I put it? The understanding of Bitcoin was so shallow that this counter movement formed of people just like being really extreme about everything. And I think it's fair. It's like once you understand proof of work and once you understand kind of the reality of monetary competition and liquidity competition, you'll realize it's kind of a winner takes all environment. And we see this now, like Bitcoin is the only proof of work chain that matters, right? Like nothing else exists. And how this all hangs together and kind of, if you build a new system, I really appreciated you mentioning that on Knut's show. It's, you realized early on, you were in, like pre-Nostra, you were already interested in building a social network thing running on public key infrastructure, basically. Mm. And you realized that you don't need a blockchain for that.
Yes.
So you're way ahead of the curve because all the Web3 people and so on, like there's lots of people that have similar ideas, but they all launch their own shitcoin.
Yes.
And that's just, the Bitcoin maximalists will tell you that that's completely unnecessary.
Yeah, I think even if they had some good ideas, the economic structure takes them to the wrong direction immediately.
Oh, absolutely. Like the incentives are completely messed up and you just have a money printer and once you have a money printer, you're going to scam even harder. That's just how it goes.
I guess that's why the Nostra crowd has been so much nicer in many ways, because people are in for the right reasons. A bit like early Bitcoiners who didn't actually have a monetary incentive at the time when Bitcoin didn't even have an exchange rate maybe, or was very low worth.
Are you worried about Nostra being actually successful and we having an eternal November moment?
No.
Is it November or September? Now I'm tripping up. Eternal September? Eternal November?
No.
I don't know. Eternal something.
No, Nostra doesn't have the same incentive stuff. It's just a protocol.
But what I mean is like in the early internet days, it was just a certain group of people that, you know, there was a certain internet subculture. Now we definitely have a Nostra subculture. Hmm. And if we have, I don't know, 10 million people streaming in, the culture will definitely change, right? Just like the Bitcoin culture changed.
Yes, but it's okay.
It's okay?
Yes.
So you remain optimistic?
Yeah, we'll find our groups.
Again, no global. You'll have little smaller groups. outside of your own projects, what are the most exciting Nostra projects for you? We can just continue here.
I guess FIPS, what we've been talking about here a lot, like the network routing based on Nostra public keys, where you don't send to an IP address, but to a Nostra public key, and it will route it to the right place.
So that's very low level. Are you in general interested in the low level stuff?
Yes.
No high level client that has you excited?
Yeah. Well, what are you excited about in the high level?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of more a generalist and all over the stack in some sense. I'm really excited about kind of the proliferation and maturation of clients. Like Wisp, for example, is a great example. It just you know, one guy was able to sit down and actually build his dream client in, I don't know, what feels like 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, I think these micro apps might be a good trend instead of putting everything into a single app like I've done with Iris and I guess many other apps.
Yeah, yeah, Amethyst is the worst offender.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but maybe like it makes sense to have a shell like Nostr browser.
Yeah.
Damus is going in the right direction. They will.
With NoteDeck, you mean?
Yeah, NoteDeck, which has a very efficient Nostr DB.
Yeah.
Which I have contributed to social graph stuff. They will allow some sort of apps within.
Yeah.
NoteDeck, and then there's Iris browser, of course. I'm not doing the whole browser stack. I'm just using the native web view, so I don't need to implement the whole browser. Just the hash tree loading part.
Yeah.
And peer to peer.
And what has you exciting about FIPS? Why was your immediate answer FIPS as kind of the most exciting project?
I guess you need to start from the first principles of 10 times, and our stack still runs on quite centralized infra. Internet.
So DNS and IPv4 are their worst offenders?
In a sense, maybe DNS is worse than IPv. Well, internet protocol and IP addresses.
And you think FIPS has legs? It's gonna proliferate? I mean, there's already like at least 6 or 7 people building on top of it. They're all here right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess Reticulum is kind of similar, but I was asking Jonathan yesterday and his answer, as I understood, was basically it's hyper-optimized for low bandwidth links like LoRa or something.
Yeah.
And FIPS can be more universal.
Yeah.
But yes, I think definitely it makes sense to have that separation, have like identity as the lowest layer, public key that you talk to instead of IP address.
That brings me to your other project, Nostr VPN.
Yes, I have so many.
Because every device has an NPub, of course.
Yes.
And that's how you create your own virtual private network.
Yes.
Talk to me about that a little bit. How did you come up with it and what made you build it and how does it work now?
Yeah, that was also that spawned from personal annoyances. So I went down this whole Mac Mini OpenClaw rabbit hole.
As many of us did.
Yes. Well, first I was running it on Hetzner bare metal server, but I wanted my own computer to do. So yeah. I have the data and everything running on my own hardware at my home. So then I needed a way to connect past the NAT, the NAT. And I installed Tailscale, but out of the box it was asking for some Google or GitHub login details. So I was really annoyed with that. Started wiping.
So that triggered you into building an alternative straight up.
Yeah, yes. So in like 1 or 2 days I was able to have Nostr VPN, which did the connection. It was using WireGuard or Cloudflare's version of WireGuard, boring ton underneath. And it was establishing the link, like negotiating the IP addresses and ports over Nostr relays. So you don't need user accounts, you just set the NPubs you want to connect to.
And you use that basically in production for yourself and have been using it for a while now, right?
Yeah, yes.
So what's your setup like? Talk me through it.
Just Mac Mini and MacBook laptops and Nostr VPN installed.
And everything tunnels through your Mac Mini, basically? And you're in the same VPN just by... Everything connects to the Mac Mini and to each other.
Now I can SSH or screen share into the Mac Mini. I'm working on exit node functionality actually, so I don't personally need it for this setup, but I think that would be cool. Some people need it. And,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And later on, I want to have like cashew incentivized exit node. Marketplace.
Okay, so you can basically rent out your exit node in some sense, like you can just provide exit node as a service.
Yes, yeah. And you get like a you can get like a residential exit point.
Yeah. I mean, that's I think where it necessarily has to go, because if you just use a commercial VPN, doesn't matter which one, it's always just a matter of time until the IP addresses are blacklisted by YouTube and whatever. It's like just that will just continue. Like, it will just get worse and worse and worse. There's gonna be the fully KYC'd normie internet, and if you're behind a VPN, you're not gonna be able to access anything. Yeah. And there's gonna be our whatever mesh Noster internet, Nosternet.
I think many people would actually want to run such a way to get some, like every AI agent out there could earn some sats by running an exit node.
Yeah, that's the hope, kind of for the larger vision that, like, Dorsey mentioned that recently as well. Kind of the killer feature of both Bitcoin and Noster is that it is permissionless.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you need those kind of services to make the permissionlessness work, because like everyone who ever set up OpenClaw knows that the first thing you need is like 15 different API keys that you kind of, you know, you need to KYC for basically, and not easy to get.
That's actually one of the rare things that I'm optimistic about in the future. Like, I think Noster and Bitcoin have the fundamentals right, they're permissionless. So actually, I think agents are going to want to use them over any third-party service, and they can just recursively develop them into
the That's in part why I'm recording these things, by the way, to get the propaganda out and feed it into the agents that they know what's up.
Yes.
And I'm only half kidding. I think you know Gwern. He wrote Bitcoin is worse is better in the very early days. He has like an awesome blog. He also wrote about the scaling laws. He's not really a researcher. He's just a guy that, you know, has too much time on his hands and is really good at researching stuff and writing.
Yeah.
And he basically mentioned that if you don't put your thoughts out now, you're gonna be made obsolete in the future, because everything that doesn't exist kind of on the internet now, you need to get it into the LLMs, basically, is his idea, with looping back to what we talked before. So any other projects you have on that you want to work on, any other annoyances, any other itches you want to scratch for yourself? Or is like 12 different projects enough for now?
There's so much going on. That's, like I said, that's why I'm here, like to push these ideas out a bit, like plant the seed maybe. I'm hoping someone will find some of this interesting and continue developing. So, because I still don't have the bandwidth. Maybe in a year or so, things develop so fast, I can just have a swarm of agents do all this stuff and just hand wave around it.
Just talk about things and they will just create themselves magically, basically.
Yeah, we just feed this podcast into the AI and it will make.
That's what I'm doing, basically. That's how I'm vibe coding these days.
Yes.
I'm just rambling for a long time and then just feed it into various agents and something will pop out.
Yeah.
But you just mentioned that's why you're here. What made you come here in the first place? I would be very curious. I was very surprised when I saw that you were coming.
I guess I've wanted to visit this beautiful place for a while.
How come you even know about Sovereign Engineering? Like, let's start there. We're very bad at marketing, you know? So,
I guess I did. I knew about it somehow, but I have a family life, so it's not. I'm not totally free to travel anytime.
Yeah.
So, after I published Noster VPN, I think Jonathan Corrigan messaged me. Did you introduce him to me, or someone introduced him to me, and he asked me to come to Mother Eras, and I said, why not?
Awesome. And yeah, I'm very humbled that you're here. I mean, you know, like it's...
And it was like...
doesn't get much better than that.
It was like week before.
Yeah.
Week before that I decided to come.
All right. What did you think about the program so far? So we're at the end of... it's the weekend now, so we participated for 1 week. We're after the first week. What was your impression?
It's awesome. Like, it's a great filter when people need to spend their time and money to come participate. Yeah. And people are here for the right reasons, and they're really enthusiastic about what they're doing. And they do meaningful stuff, and it's really intense. Like from morning to evening, you work on stuff, code intensely, and then you socialize, you exchange ideas, listen to presentations, do your demos, and have your lunch talks. See all these amazing mesh radios around you.
I think that's the only downside, that it's almost like too intense. Yes. Every single time I almost burn out. Just kind of my social batteries are drained and my brain is overloaded with like a million ideas. And yes. And just everyone is, you know, like operating on such a high level. Everyone is an expert in their own field, basically. And it's almost impossible to, you know, like be caught up and participate in every single conversation, because it's just like, what do I know about FIPS, you know? And then Jonathan is standing next to me and explaining all kinds of, you know, intricacies of network communication, and I'm just, my brain just melts every single time like those kind of things happen. Yeah. So that's the one downside of software engineering, that it's like almost too intense.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long I could keep up with this, because normal life is totally the opposite.
Yeah. Like, and that's the funny contrast that like lots of people are massive introverts and just, you know, computer scientists and programmers and so on, and just getting them to participate in such a program that's so intense and also so collaborative and like socially draining. It's an interesting experiment. But to me it's amazing that people are actually coming and enjoying it and so on. Yeah, I mean, having beautiful Madeira helps.
Yeah, but now that I think of it, it's kind of my, like my childhood or teenage dream that I'm living here, like hacking away with people on a beautiful island and doing what I want.
awesome. How did you, like, you had some very interesting ideas early on, right? Like, that's also why you discovered Bitcoin so early on. Like, how tell me how you got into the computer stuff in the first place and how you ended up studying computer science.
I've always been a gamer, I guess.
What did you play?
We had DOS games. DOS computers were what I started with. All the retro DOS.
Frogger.
I played like Keen. And
Commander Keen, nice.
Yes, and Sky Roads.
Nice. I remember all those.
Civilization 1.
Yeah.
And Warlords. Well, many classics, and we had a thriving gaming scene in Finland as well, like Finnish floppy disk games. I guess I've always been into computers, this introverted guy, better with computers than humans.
Yeah. So gaming was your entry drug. Same for me, by the way.
Yeah, and it's been some sort of fascination with computers since childhood.
So did you do kind of early network games as well, like building IPX, ASPX, token ring networks and using serial computer cables to plug computers together, those kind of things?
We had LAN parties and stuff.
But you already had routers and switches or no? When was it? Do you remember your first LAN party?
We only started doing that really in high school, actually.
Okay.
Like Red Alert.
That was already... What operating system was that? There was already like Windows 2000 NT, something like that?
Yeah, XP or something.
XP, okay.
Yeah.
So I still remember in the kind of MS-DOS days trying to do networking and just kind of the hell of that. Yeah. Everything is so much easier these days, even with, you know, Nostr and FIPS.
Yeah, and I guess I was a rebel since my teenage years when I started growing my hair long and listening to heavy metal music and wearing black and played in a metal band.
I want to see pictures one day. You with long hair.
I don't have any good pictures from that period.
What a shame. But you still play, right? You're still...
Yes, playing at task. Happy to play in Satoshi Rokamoto.
Yeah, nice.
After a long time, I have a reason to practice again.
Nice. That's a nice place, by the way. That's where the locals go. It's like a public bath place. Nice. More or less. You want to head the other direction, see how long we can go? I still have like 20 minutes in me in terms of brain power.
Airbnb is
this way,
same ways.
Okay, you want to just continue, or
we could continue
if you're okay. Let's go to your place directionally.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Let's just, I just hope we're, the background noise is manageable. But that's a nice thing about doing the walking conversations in the sun. It has a natural time limit because, like, for me at least, after 90 minutes, I'm cooked. I'm just, I can't concentrate anymore.
Yeah, like in a Fallout game series, you could choose to play chess against this computer in this nuclear reactor place, but then you get irradiated and die.
So you have a time limit. Yes. Same idea, same principle. So for you, it was gaming, computers, computer science.
Yes.
And during your studies, you got in touch with Bitcoin.
Yes, also, I was inspired by Pirate Bay and the rebelliousness of it. And I knew all the founders, the, Peter Sunde, whom I've actually talked to. And I guess, was it Gottfried or something?
Yeah, he got very disillusioned. Like, there is a keynote of him where he just basically was like fully black-pilled and it's like, it's over, the internet is dead and we lost. Hmm. So what do you think about that? Would you...
No, torrents are still running, but we could do better. And I think we will. Like, peer-to-peer apps were unable to compete in user experience against big tech companies, but now the tables are turning with LLM agents. Like, software is so cheap to create that you can make amazing decentralized experience.
And like you said before, Bitcoin and Nostr got the basics right, and I think if we do our job well, then the UX in the end will even be better.
Yes.
Because there will be less friction.
Yes, absolutely, yes. And it will work without the internet in some cases.
I like that you're still this optimistic after, you know, like so many years. Most people go crazy, lose their mind, or like, you know.
But we're only like 4 months into the AI agent craziness.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I'm not sure how this is gonna go. Like the open claw phenomenon is definitely interesting. I think it's going to be harder to use in some sense in a little while. Like today, Anthropic announced that they're going to put the brakes on open claw usage. You're not allowed to use third-party harnesses anymore with your subscription.
Anthropic sucks. I only use Codex. It's much better coder. But I do want to use local at some point. Local layer.
And you think the models will definitely get there? That you can just run everything locally?
Yes, I think so. I hope sooner rather than later.
What's your guess at an ETA? Like when can you run local models on your Mac Mini and it will work equally well as it does for you right now with Codex?
I guess next year latest.
Next year latest?
I think so.
All right. Now you have to lead the way, by the way. I don't know where we go.
Whatever, we can walk around. The place is like 3 minutes from here.
All right, let's see.
This is a nice restaurant.
Yeah, that's very nice. Little bit of, you know, restaurant atmosphere in between. Never heard anyone. So I'm... What I'm hearing is that you're very optimistic about certain aspects of Nostr, very optimistic about locally run agents.
Yes.
And very optimistic about freedom tech in general.
Yeah, yes, I am.
Is that fair?
Yeah, there's certain like centralization aspect to AI, I guess, with the data centers and stuff. But then on the other hand, you will be able to compress AI onto so many edge devices, low power devices. Like now we even have the ASICs that are really fast and performant, but they're hard coded to some certain open source, open weight model, I guess.
Are you still optimistic about Bitcoin as well?
Yeah, I am. The fundamentals haven't changed.
Fun fact, by the way, the restaurant we just walked through, they accept Bitcoin directly.
Oh yeah, we went there yesterday.
Yeah, awesome. To me, lots of people that are less optimistic, I get the feeling they actually don't use Bitcoin. Mm. They actually kind of are on the sidelines and are shitting on Bitcoin just because whatever headline just hit.
Yeah, but Bitcoin in payments also needs to solve a problem, I think. and it's not doing a great job at that always. Like, we really need to integrate payments to the existing networks, like was it Square Terminal?
Yeah, they just integrated. They just turned it on.
Yeah, but yeah. They need to make it like I don't want to separately ask to use Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You just show
exactly. Yeah. Do you still have 15 minutes or so? Because I would suggest we just go one more ring down there. Because if we go up, we're just going to be
exhausted.
Huffing and puffing and just sweating into the microphones. But yeah, I mean, the Square thing obviously is big. And it's amazing how fast they were able to do that in some sense. Like, I think they beat their own internal timelines.
Yeah. I guess that's where it can actually solve a problem when you integrate it. It actually saves the merchant money in transaction fees.
I think in terms of problem solving, it's the same for Nostr as well. It's if you have a relatively stable and normal Western life, you're not kind of the target demographic.
Yeah.
But if you work in a, you know, kind of what people would consider a questionable industry, and you just get deplatformed and debanked and so on all the time, then it suddenly becomes very appealing. And I think what we have on the Nostr side is, I think the political climate will only heat up. Yeah. I don't think it will normalize anytime soon.
Yeah.
And so depending on kind of the powers that be, you'll just be the platform for different things and opinions.
Yes, and the platforms
they have no choice.
Yeah, the platforms have their own rules and their own feed algorithms that you might want to avoid.
Yeah, we see this all the time where new platforms spring up because they promise they're not going to censor, and there was there was Truth Social and there was whatever, like, you know, some Christian run platforms that, you know, free speech, and then you post boobs and you're banned, you know, like, yeah. it's just a different kind of censorship then, in some sense.
But actually that brings me to another point of mine. Besides lowering the cost of software development, AI also, I think it will eat away network effects, because your AI agent can easily query. Your AI agent can query like 10 different platforms easily, so it doesn't care that makes the network effects.
That's a good point, actually, so because the interface will be your agent and not.
Yeah, you just ask your phone, show me a feed of my friend's photos, and it will ask all the sources and Nostr. Maybe it will gravitate.
That's a really good point. I never thought about it in that light.
Yeah, and it will also post to all these platforms, and then you can eventually just use Nostr.
If you use your agent as the interface that comes bundled with the platform is less important.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting to businesses like X that rely on the precisely on the network.
Yeah, also in terms of infrastructure, migrating away from something is now way easier if you have a capable agent that can just do it in, you know, like a very short amount of time.
Yes.
With very little headache. So yeah, that's a really good point. Like that's, it's a kind of a, you know, Ouroboros effect, kind of the snake of big tech eating its own tail, destroying its own network effects in some sense.
Yes.
But I think it will definitely be a fight. I think right now, lots of AI usage is subsidized, right? And they will try to box everyone into their own ecosystems. I mean, that's already happening now, like I mentioned, with Anthropic and so on. So what have you used any kind of Nostr-based AI routing services like Routster or something like that, or PaperQ?
No, I think? I'm not comfortable sending my prompts to some random folks. Actually, I trust, like, I'd rather give them to OpenAI than send my, like, personal, like, agents know, like, what's on your hard drive.
Yeah, of course.
Even if I don't use my personal, give it access to my personal stuff. I have my Mac Mini is for development stuff only.
So, do you know anything about Maple?
Yes, I know. It's my problem is it's still trust me, bro, in some way. Like, you still need to trust maybe NVIDIA's signatures or something.
Yeah, okay, I see. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with trusting trust. How paranoid do you want
to
be?
You're still sending your prompts to someone else's computer.
Yeah, yeah. So ideal for you would be just run everything on your local hardware. That would be part of the goal, right?
Yeah. I guess Maple can be better if the quality is sufficient.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to point out the projects because there is, of course, lots of people trying to make this work and lots of people kind of trying to provide alternatives to kind of big tech in some sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just going to take a little while to mature and also be competitive in terms of price. I think the most, like the biggest issue right now is just like if you use the big services, like you benefit from the subsidies so much. It's just so much cheaper.
But I guess some sort of erosion of privacy is inevitable in some way because information gets so much more accessible with all the new technology, with increasing bandwidth and the bandwidth to process it with AI.
So are you hinting on kind of also de-anonymization and those kind of things? Because I would argue that what we talked about before, the permissionless and frictionless nature of Bitcoin and Nostr helps you privacy-wise. Like nothing stops you from spinning up a new NPUP and just doing things.
Yeah, I hope it can also help and AI can also be used to improve privacy and everything and develop better privacy protocols and all that.
Just occurred to me, like if you use a local agent as your interface, they can't even fingerprint your typing because it runs through an agent first. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
If you let your agent shitpost for you, then you'll be insulated from text and type fingerprinting.
Yeah. Someone was demoing at SCC traffic analysis. So you can.
Oh yeah, the MixNet thing.
Yeah, so even if the traffic is encrypted, even if you use Tor, you can identify traffic patterns.
Yeah.
There's, as far as I see, using like noise, like using 100% of your bandwidth for noise and then embedding signal in there now and then is the only solution to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's gonna be a long battle, kind of. Making freedom tech more widespread than it currently is. I remain hopeful because it is more widespread than it ever was in some sense. And just in like very normal, like using a VPN, for example, is very normal. Like half the podcasts I listen to, they have VPN advertisements and so on.
Yeah.
Like 15 years ago, like no one really knew what a VPN was.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like that's kind of, that improved massively. And I hope that kind of just, you know, using VPN is like using a more private internet in some sense. It's like, you know, a condom for your router, basically. And it's a normal thing now. And I hope that in the future, it will just be normal to use more private money, for example, you know, or also more private identity, like to the Nostr point. How do you think about identity in general? I would be very curious because that was kind of your first foray, right? Like the identity question is what got you interested in the whole, like in the pre-Nostr days, basically. I'm asking because you're operating under your clear name and have your face as your profile picture, those kind of things.
Yeah.
How do you think about online identity or identity in cyberspace? I know it's a broad question, but I'd be curious. And let's walk here, and that's where we turn around at the lighthouse.
Yeah, so anonymity online is kind of difficult, especially systems like Nostr where creating new identities is easy. It's free, basically. You can just spam new public keys. So to me, it seems like the only good solution is social graph.
Why are you saying it's difficult?
So you can just generate spam as much as
okay, it's easy to spam is what you're saying.
Yeah, because there's no phone numbers or emails limiting you or anything.
So rate limiting and spam is obviously an issue for in a cryptographic identity space.
Then you just use social graph, but then you're not anonymous anymore. You can't be easily anonymous.
But pseudonymous is what you can be.
Yeah, you can be pseudonymous. Maybe you can have like trusted anonymizers. Someone, like you trust someone to uniquely like provide only one identity per natural human or something.
Are you
like anonymous forums on top of?
I really like a talk by that the 4chan founder of all people gave Christopher Poole. Moot was his name, or is his name, and he talked about how identity is prismatic. Kind of that, like also in the real world, you know, like you're not the same person when you go to church, than when you go to the nightclub, or when you go to a wedding or a funeral or to work or to your football club or whatever. Like, do you think on the Nostr side we have a chance of replicating that prismatic identity in some sense?
Yeah, of course you can generate new profiles as you go.
I mean, that's how it is now. You have separate NPUBs for separate things. I mean, lots of people do that, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Like Nostr power users like Sir Sleepy, they have like 5 different NPUBs, and one only posts about trains and the other one only posts about whatever, frogs. So any thoughts on the identity part? Because obviously one thing we're still missing is key rotation and identity permanence. Like if you get compromised or if it's lost. Yeah, watch out, don't fall down.
So I'm not big into signers. Well, I do use a Nostr signing extension in the browser.
Okay.
But
what do you use on your phone?
I use Iris, my own web-based client, as a progressive web app on the desktop on the home screen.
And no signer. Like there is Aegis on iOS as a signing app, and there is
No, I don't do that. I think optimally we might want one key per device and then just have the social verification to attach the devices into the same identity, so the devices can...
So that this key can sign in your name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And systems for like revoking those lost or hacked devices or compromised keys or something. Master keys are not the solution. You can always lose your master.
Yeah. It just shifts the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you know anything about NSEC Bunker? Like, with certain signing policies, I think NSEC Bunker would enable that already. The scenario you're sketching out.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Because very few people use it, and I still think it was one of the biggest mistakes of Pablo to ever work on that. Because you're making a Coinbase for Nostr possible with that. It's basically, you know, like you're abstracting the keys away.
Yeah, and I guess I was always interested in decentralized marketplaces, and that's where reputation comes in. Identity adjacent theme.
Are you working on that on the Irish side as well?
I've done some prototyping with the LLM tools, but I haven't had time for that.
Okay. Do you know about the existing projects like Plebeian Market and Chopster and those kind of things?
Nope.
Because they do exist, but they are obviously still very, very small. But they are.
Yeah.
There are existing marketplaces. People do actually sell stuff on Nostr. Like there's the one artist, the Italian artist, Isabello Art or something, and purely kind of. Bitcoin denominated and only sold on Nostr.
Yeah.
So there is an existing market already.
Yeah, and reputation is also maybe not so great with anonymity.
Yeah, sure. You need pseudonymity to build up a reputation, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's make the loop back and then I'll drop you off at your place. Thanks for indulging me, but you that's your second hike today already.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
After an exhausting week.
Yes.
And I put you on the spot right away. Yeah. You know, like you'll have to present on this and you'll have to run a workshop on Nostr VPN and so on.
Yeah.
So, you know, like don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness,
yes,
kind of thing. I hope you're gonna forgive me too,
yes,
for putting you all through all that.
Yes, thanks for organizing all this.
Yeah, to me it's amazing that it's that people are still coming and kind of putting yourself through all that. And I hope that we can just continue and like get the best, most motivated people involved and actually fix all these issues that we, you know, hinted on and talked about. You mentioned the Pirate Bay, by the way, and I think it's hilarious that to some degree the Nostoc crowd rebuilt a lot of the mechanisms that made Pirate Bay work and makes it still work. And like, for example, lots of mirror pages, right? Like lots of entry points.
Yeah.
And like inside is that to some degree. Yeah. Then, you know, lots of fault tolerance. I mean, we obviously have relays and so on, content addressing and so on with magnet links, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. They kind of, in a game of whack-a-mole,
yes,
came up with all these solutions to eliminate the central point of failures. Yeah. And I think on the Nostoc side, kind of the same thing happened. And yeah, my hope is that it will just continue and get better. And people, like you said, you know, like they should be in it for the right reasons. So I kind of hope that it stays smallish in some sense. Like, how should I put it? I think what would be kind of bad for Nostoc if something would happen that allows you to earn a lot of money with Nostoc. You know what I mean? And then lots of grifters and business people come in and they usually destroy stuff, you know, like they usually then take shortcuts and make things worse.
Yeah, but Nostoc is such low level stuff. It's like using HTTP for scams or something.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. That's what has me hopeful as well. It's it's a protocol after all. And yeah, that's, you know, you usually don't make money with protocols unless you're shit money. Last question from my side. What would you like to see build in the next like 6 months from now or so? Like there's four or five people that are listening to that and they are all Nostoc developers. So just get your ideas out.
You should use Hashtree more. Look onto Hashtree.
So everyone's repo should default to a Hashtree remote?
Yes.
That's your dream?
Yes.
What else? That's a very easy ask.
I feel like just pushing my own stuff, because that's all I've been thinking about. just use permissionless freedom tech and solve real problems that people have. Not like theoretically nice to have stuff, but pick some. Myself, I've not always been great at this and trying to do better. I feel like Nostoc VPN has actually solved a real problem and it's been interesting to many people. So that's where you don't need those network effects.
Yeah. I mean, it solved a real problem for at least one person, which is you. And I'm a big believer in scratching your own itch. Like if something is actually broken for you, try to fix it. So it works for you, but also publish it at the same time so that other people can pick it up, right? And learn for it and use it as well.
Yeah,
I think that's a good note. That's a good note to end on. I won't, let's go in the shade. Yeah. I won't subject you to more heat and more questions. So we always end on a hug. Thanks so much for being here and doing
this.
And it was a pleasure to have you. I'm very humbled that you came. And
good to be here.
And anytime again, you know, like if it works with the family and your other obligations, like we want to keep doing that for as long as we can.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's see where we are in, I don't know, 6 months from now, 18 months from now. Maybe everyone is using Hashtree and everyone is using FIPS and everyone is using Nostoc in some way. That would be nice. Yeah. Oh man, you have blisters now. I feel bad. I feel terrible. We'll have to stop immediately. All right, Marty. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
And I see we're still recording, so everything worked
perfect.